and help us to serve you, and that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you, Pastor Jeremy. We are in Genesis chapter 10 this evening, Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to go ahead. Guys, there's a map in there. It's going to be hard for them to see, but I'm going to put it up anyway just so that I can give you a little frame of reference under sermons there. You'll see it. And so I told you if you have Bible maps in your actual Bible, you might be able to deduce a little bit from that on there as well. But I'll point at some places. Really, what I want you to see through this, we talked about the three sons of Noah last week and how they're going to repopulate the earth. And so Genesis chapter 10 is called the Table of Nations, and how the nations started to be populated with different people groups. And so really what chapter 10 is for a preacher is a bunch of words I can't pronounce. And so I'll go through them and we'll look at it, and I'll tell you some of the modern names and some of the people groups that are from those places, show you on a map some of those things. And so if you can't see it, I'm going to point here for a moment. This pink section, so you can definitely see the colors, this pink section is what we call Japheth. That's where Noah's son Japheth and his family moved. And so this right down here is the Red Sea. This is Israel here, so they move up into this area. Turkey was right in here, so that's where the ark landed. So they're going up into this area. There is one little yellow section of Lud, which is the descendants of Shem. So that's one little section that they got up there where their people populated. Then you get down here to the yellow section, and that's Shem. This is Arabia. This is the people that are Semitic. And so this is where we got that word Semitic from. There is this little land of Shinar there in the green that you'll see as well. You'll notice, though, Ham, who was Canaan, his son was cursed. There's Canaan land, which we know now is Israel in that part. You'll see that green, these places that they kind of take, they go mostly to the south. And so it's not all one size. There's different places where you'll see different colors on the map, but that's basically where these people go. So modern day, if you're looking at this map, this right here, Egypt is old. So we had Egypt in the Bible, right? And so right through here, here's Sinai, Canaan, or what is Israel, in here, Egypt, Libya, Algeria. Keep moving down to the south. Down here, you'll get Ethiopia, what is currently Sheba here. There's another Sheba over here, but it's not that Sheba in Africa. This is Saudi Arabia. You'll get that. You'll get these areas over here. Now, this is like Iran. This goes up into Turkey. Now we're getting into the European. And then all the way over there, Tarshish, the British Isles. And so most of the reason why we look at these things, why does it matter, some of these nations? Because some of them have end times ramifications. And then also, when you look at the Bible, God, people will say, well, why we don't major on this country or major on that country? Because what was God concerned with Old Testament? He was concerned with Israel. And so God wasn't going to spend a lot of time here in the Bible today. We'll see a lot of these lands. But as I talked about last week, how the races were created, basically. And I talked about that last week, about some of the adaptation things that I believe personally, but where people moved. Because originally, Noah and his wife have three sons, and they're all from the same father, the same mother. And so they're all the same race, right? These people are going to go from there, and from that happened. How did that take place? We're going to see a little bit of that tonight. So Genesis chapter 10, take your Bibles, turn there with me. Again, don't make fun of the preacher when he pronounces a word that he's just making up how to pronounce it. Because I've studied and I've read through these 100 times, and I'm sure I'm going to get 6 or 20 wrong. Okay? All right. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So it's going to talk about these sons, and now it's going to talk about the sons and where those sons went and continued to populate the earth. And the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. If you're planning on having any kids soon, and you want to have a boy, these are some great names. I encourage you. You don't need a baby book. Just get into the Bible. I think it's a great name. Anybody want a Tubal? That'd be good. goes on here, and the sons of Gomer, and Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elishush, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodanim, By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. Gentile islands, the people start to be moved, and so we're talking about these sons of Japheth, and we go to this pink section on the map, and we've got some cool things that take place here. And so when you get into these places, they're obviously not called the same thing today, but some of you already have heard names that you hear in the New Testament or even in the Old Testament about prophecy, and so you can't see it up here, but when you get into these places, you're going to move all around. This is the Caspian Sea. This is Iran. So you're going to get to like Afghanistan and China and up here. So Russia proper right here goes over this way. So we're talking about some Germanic people. We're talking about the Celtic people. We're talking about a group of folks who really populate what we call the Aryan race. All right. And so this is where this starts. So Gomer, even though it's mostly related with the Germanic tribes, from that we know that they keep growing and eventually they reach Ireland. And so the Celtic people, and so whether they would agree or not, this Aryan race of people, they continue to push westward and they find their way there. We also know that that Togarma is Armenia. And so Armenia is right smack dab in the middle of the Caucasus Mountains, okay? And so where we get that word Caucasian or the Caucasoid, it comes from that Caucasus Mountains, and these Armenians go there. Not that I care, but the most famous Armenians you know are the Kardashians, all right? These are our Armenian people, and so it doesn't really matter, but these people are Aryan race. This is where, so my point to that is they can look different. They don't have to be like completely Celtic or whatever, but they all come from Japheth and from his people there. Then you get Magog. Many of you know about Magog because of Ezekiel 38 and 39, because of Old Testament prophecy, Magog being Russia and being that place. But this go from Japheth's family, and they start to spread, and you'll find places like that. Even when you see Meshach and Tubal, you'll find those places. I don't know that this is true. Some people believe that if you look up there, Magog's at the top of this pink kind of section right there. And if you keep on going to your left, you find these islands and things, and that's where you'll find, again, the whole Soviet Union was different when I was a kid, but Ukraine and these places. Europe, okay? So Europe is populated by Japheth and the Aryan nations, the Aryan people. You'll start to see that. Even by the time you get to the New Testament, you see that, because where you see that Javan, that J-A-V-A-N, that is the Grecian people. That's the Greeks. And so when you get to the Bible, there's certainly Greeks. Old Testament prophesied in death the Greeks come. Alexander the Great and his great wars that he took over. But then when we get to Jesus, they're speaking in Greek. And what's our Bible translated into Greek? And so you see that even from Genesis chapter 10, you begin to see these European nations populated. We also see Cyprus. Kittim is Cyprus. Paul sailed to Cyprus, right? And so you see in your New Testament things that happened in the Old Testament. You see that their isles are in the lands, the isles of Gentiles, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. This is interesting, and you got to understand the Bible is not chronological, right? It's not always chronological. What happens here? Genesis chapter 11 is the Tower of Babel, and so the languages aren't confounded or confused until then. But in Genesis chapter 10, what they're doing is they're setting the scene of what happened and where these people went. And so at this point, they all speak the same language. So what you read there is something that happens after Babel. And so you have to kind of pay attention. One of the most confusing things in the Bible is where, I call it like a dream sequence in a movie, where they go ahead, but then they go back to where it's like current day. You know, you look ahead and then you go back to current day. That happens in the Bible sometimes. And so one of the reasons why people don't understand the book of Ezra is because Ezra skips ahead 70 years at one point in time and then goes back to modern day, and you're like, wait a minute, what just happened, right? And so you have to be able to understand. Some people read a chronological Bible, and that chronological Bible, even with that, won't give you Genesis 10 and 11 backwards. And so just understand when it says that, don't be confused and be like, well, I thought the nations didn't get changed until Genesis chapter 11. You're right. But Genesis chapter 10 is showing us something that happens after that. It goes on here, and this is interesting because now you're going to see the Hamites in verse 6. And the sons of Cush, Ham, and Put, and Canaan. Remember last week we talked about Ham does not get cursed, but his son Canaan gets cursed, right? Cursed be Canaan. And so here's Canaan. We know Canaan land is the original, or what we know as the place where Israel, those borders of Israel, even today, they're in that green section here, right against the Mediterranean. It's circled. That's why it's circled on this map, because that is even today, modern day Israel, and it's not as big as God outlined for those children. But the Canaanites are interesting because the Canaanites are the people that God told Israel to cast out, to get out of the promised land. And why? Because they're cursed. And why are they cursed? Because Ham saw his father's nakedness and he curses his son, right? Because he doesn't just curse Ham, he cursed all their generations to come. And we talked about that last week, being the people of African descent. And so Cush, there that you see, that's Ethiopia. So we have missionaries in Ethiopia, or to Ethiopia today. Does anybody know what Ethiopia, you remember what the missionary said? Remember what comes from Ethiopia, why we love it? Coffee, right? That's where coffee was originated from. Praise the Lord for Ethiopia. Then you'll see Havilah in the Bible a lot. That's Arabia. And so they moved down into Arabia. So you see some of those green things down there in Arabia. You also have Ramah, which is what we see as the Persian Gulf. And so the Persian Gulf, that area, they move south. They're south moving as you keep reading. In this, Mizraim is Egypt. Lebium is Libya. Cashulis is Philistia. You'll see the Philistines, Put as part of Libya. And so you start to get all these ites. In the Bible, I believe, if I got this correctly, there's like 10 major ites. There's other ites, says that where they're from. But these original Canaanites, watch this, they all start to come from here. I'm going to keep reading. And so there's this little section here that happens that is just kind of funny. It doesn't really have anything to do with what we're talking about, but it's biblical. So Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Sheba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Arama, and Septica, and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And so really all that really means is that this guy raises up and he's like this great mighty warrior. And after that, people say, hey, we use Nimrod like as a bad term, but biblically it's a really good term. It's like if you're a Nimrod, you're this powerful warrior, okay? And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So that's why it's important, because he's so powerful, he begins a kingdom. And for the first time, biblically, we start to see Lamech kind of as the forerunner of that. You know, Lamech, hearken unto the voice, ye wives of Lamech. But now this guy, he's like the first one that actually takes and makes his own kingdom. From the beginning, God, you know, the world is God's kingdom. It still is, amen. But that's how it was separated. God's the king. He's in charge. People are calling upon the name of the Lord, even in Adam and Eve's generations. But now this guy comes, and we know what happens in chapter 11. And so in Babel, they begin to erect this great tower, right? And men become this to do that which is right in their own eyes. Nimrod, being this mighty one, he begins, and his kingdom is Babel, which Babel is the predecessor to Babylon, and ultimately, even in Revelation, the harlot, the abomination, is that mystery Babylon. Babylon has a connotation of negativity throughout the Bible, because Babylon has been this cesspool of pagan idolatry and just doing whatever we decide we want to do. And it starts way back here in Genesis 10 and moving into that area. And so when you look on the map here, Canaan's people, they go down and there's this part right here. So that's Shinar, that's Babylon. That is modern day Iraq today. And that's where we're at with that. So keep reading here. He goes and he has a wreck in Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. And out of that land went forth Ashur and built at Nineveh. You've heard of Nineveh before, right? The Assyrian capital, where Jonah goes and preaches a great revival, and they're the perpetual enemy of Israel. Jonah didn't want to go there. God told him to, but remember, Jonah don't want to go there because he's a Jew and these people hate Jews, and it would be like being a missionary to Nazi Germany when you're a Jew. That's literally how hateful it was for these people, right? In Nineveh. So you know that city, and the city of Rehoboth and Calah and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim and Anaim and Lahabim and Naphtuim and Pathrushim and Kashulam, out of whom came Philistium and Kaphatrim. And so Philistium, again, you're going to start to get these Philistites. Goliath is a Philistine, right? And from Gad. And so we see that, again, in the book of Judges, the Philistines are like the major thorn in the flesh to God's people. And again, why? Because they come out of Canaan, and these are these cursed people. These are these lands because of what happens way back in the Table of Nations. Then you go on there and you see, and Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, which we know Jebusites is the original Jerusalem. And so here's an ite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Ardavite, and the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite. And afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gera, Gaza. We still have the Gaza Strip today, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, even unto Elisha. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries and in their nations. And so you see all these different African nations, and also what we would call today Syro-Arabian down here. So this is the Arabian Sea. This is the Red Sea. So all the way up in here, we see that Ham's people go south for the most part, and also into the Promised Land, and they begin to populate the earth from there. And this is interesting, and this is an interesting thought. The Hamites get more property and more countries than any of the others. They actually take more land. You can look at the map there and see that. If you can see the green, the green's much larger than the others. It's almost the same size or equal to the other two. And so when you look at that, I think it's kind of interesting, because what is the first major, even though you have Babel, God breaks that up, what's the first major world power that we see in the Bible? Anybody know? The first major world power we see in the Bible. Egypt. Egypt is the first major world power. You see some other ones before that, but even when Abraham, the patriarch, in a couple of chapters, even when he goes on his journey, the first place he comes into is Egypt, and he's like, hey, tell them you're my sister, because you're too pretty and they're going to kill me. Egypt's already like there. And so when you look at Egypt, you're talking about very close in this area to Israel. And so you're Sinai, and so you're all in here in this area. And because a great population there. And back then, you have to think about it this way. It's not like, you know, today you can have a very small nation, but if your military is strong or your technology is strong, you can be very mighty and powerful, right? We don't see it now because, well, we kind of destroyed them during World War II, but the Japanese was a very powerful nation. It was very powerful, even in the 30s and 40s. But Japan's like this big. Right? But if you have the technology and you have the things that you can do and the plan, you can be very great. But back then you didn't have that. And so what was the greatest thing you could have for power? Numbers. In the Bible, all throughout these battles, that's why God is so big, right? In the Old Testament, when we see things, it always numbers how many people went out to battle. And they say, and he had 20 and 3,000 arrayed for battle, and the other nation 6,000. And God's like, Gideon, you have too many people. And he's like, well, let's take these. And he's like, you still have too many people. Because God was proving, because in their mind, the more numbers you had, the more, they were like little kids, right? Like, if you've got five friends and the other people only have three friends, well, we have more people than you, so we're going to win, right? And that's kind of how they, if we got 30,000 and chariots and horsemen and all these things, we're going to take your 15,000 easy. And God's like, okay. And so when he's fighting with Israel, he's like, yeah, but you don't have God, right? So the Hamites are the biggest group. And that's why all these ites that Israel, man, poor Joshua. Thanks to Ham, when Joshua went out and finally Moses didn't really fight this battle, right? He goes on and he's like, Joshua, here you are. And Joshua has to go in and cast out all these ites. Land. It's all these ites that become the perpetual enemies of Israel. He goes out and has to defeat. And so if you read your Old Testament, you'll find that you have to have all these ites, but they still stayed around after that. Hundreds of years later, when David sins, remember the person he sins against is a Hittite, right? You go out there and you'll find that Uriah is a Hittite. And so they're still around. Still this presence of them. The Amorites, God completely wiped out. You'll not find any Amorites. If somebody says they're an Amorite, they're lied, because the Bible says God got rid of them completely. But these people become the perpetual enemies. And I think it's so funny, because when you read your Bible, Man, you remember me preaching that sermon, Jesus had a messed up family? Anybody got a messed up family? I got a messed up family. And you know what I've learned about family? The bigger your family gets, the more messed up it becomes. Like when my family, like this sounds bad, but like when I was a little boy and it was just like my first cousins and things like that, our family was messed up. But then when we all started having kids and then kids and kids and this and that and this, the family just keeps getting worse. It just, the people, like, every family has a thug somewhere. Some of you are the thug in your family. Some of them, it's you. So now you got the son whose family's line is cursed with the most people. Again, I can't prove this 100%, but many biblical scholars, and I would believe this, that as you'll find the people, not just Africans, but you'll find the people in these parts of Saudi Arabia, and you'll find certain people. Look, Shinar, that's smack dab in the middle of Iraq. Listen, all of our lives, Iraq has been a mess. Literally all of our lives. And we can look at it and go, it's biblical. It's not political. It's not because of Saddam Hussein. It's not because of this. It's because it's biblical. That it was going to be jacked up because they're cursed. In that sense, why would God allow curses to last that long? Well, I think that what happens is God has drawn a lot of people to salvation because of what happens there. The continent where the most Christian missionaries spend most of their time and money is Africa. It's the continent. I think that maybe the Latin countries are catching up, but they're not as big as Africa, right? They're small countries by standard. You know, you can go to South Africa. You know, you have a missionary in South Africa. Well, South Africa is as large as Colombia and Dominican Republic and Haiti and Panama and Honduras all together. And so when you send somebody to Africa, we have people in South Sudan, we have people in Ethiopia. When you go there, you find bang for buck because it's so populated. And so thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people are being saved in these places. And I don't know, I don't want to speak for God, but I do know this, that a lot of those places started off as, not started off, but they eventually became Islamic. And there's still wars there with those kind of things. But if you were in Sunday school this morning, you talked about the Crusades. One of the things that happened originally is these Crusades into the Holy Land, but they also dip down into Africa, and they start to Christianize people. And so God still has grace, even though he did a curse on these folks. There's still grace. Some people believe that American slavery, that most African Americans in this country are professing Christians. The majority, and many people believe that they took African American folks from Africa and brought them to the Americas, and through that got Christianity. Whether that's true or not, it makes sense biblically, but many biblical scholars believe that. And so you see that line of Ham there. But then you start to see Shem, and we'll spend most of our time, the rest of our time there. The Semitic race, Shem. You're going to see that now. Pick up with me there in verse 21. And unto Shem also, the father of all children of Eber. Eber is the ancient word from whence Hebrew comes from. The word Hebrew comes out of that word Eber, that son of Shem. And so from Shem comes the Semitic people. It's not just Jewish people. It's people who speak this language, but speak these Semitic languages. But from that is where Israel is going to come out of. And so you'll see that line that will lead us all the way to Abraham eventually. And so there's the line of Shem, of the Israel, the Jewish people. Now remember this, God is interested in all of us, but he selected Israel out of all of those people in the Old Testament, right? And still, but he selected them out of everybody to be. So this is why Shem is the last one mentioned, and you're going to see these names. And a lot of these names are going to mean something to you. And then you're going to go, wow. Remember Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated? Remember Ishmael and Isaac, there's two warring brothers, and then Esau and Jacob, these warring brothers. It's going to make so much sense. And then it's important for you to know, because you get to the New Testament and you get these Samaritans who live, who are basically Edomites, who live to the north of Israel. And they're like, the lady's like, hey, we don't have any dealing with the Jews, because they're like, it's not a nice word, but they're like half-breed Jews. They're like Gentile and Jew at the same time. But the reason why it's so messed up is it starts way back here at the Table of Nations, because they're brothers. Now, What happens there is that they wouldn't give passage to the children of Israel, their brothers, to go through in the wilderness. And so God put another curse. They're like doubly cursed in that sense. But what you'll find out here is as we read this, you'll know some of these names, but some of these names are going to be the very nations that God uses to judge Israel in the Old Testament. How many of you were here when we were going through Isaiah and all those Sunday nights where it was like the judgment of nations and you were bored out of your death? But if you were paying attention, a lot of these nations are the ones that are judged that God said he was going to judge in the book of Isaiah. Some of them to judge Israel, but why did he judge them and more harshly? Down to the language, these people are still speaking the same language, yet they couldn't get along. It's easy to get frustrated with people when you can't speak the same language as them. Isn't that easy? This weekend when I was out of town, there were some folks who spoke a different language. They were Africans. I could pick up a little bit because they were speaking French, but they were trying to talk to the lady at the hotel, and she couldn't understand them. And she was getting frustrated. They were trying to get something, and one of them spoke a little better English, and he was like trying to translate, but his English wasn't good enough to really translate, and that can become really frustrating. And that's hard. You know, you think about it this way. Sometimes we're like, I wish that they could just speak this language. But it can be really frustrating when a little kid's trying to tell you something and you can't figure it out. And they're trying to speak English. And you're like, I don't know what you're saying, baby. I don't know. And then, like, moms are the best at this. Like, a little kid would be like, no, 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 no. And like, we don't know what they're talking about. And the mom's like, you want juice, baby? That's not what they said. That is not what they said. You lie. You have no idea what they just said. Quit making stuff up, all right? It's like, are you sleepy, baby? You don't know. They didn't say jack, all right? But it can become frustrating, can't it? It can become frustrating when you can't speak the language. So God's like, hey, you guys, I moved everybody else around so they could go in their own language or other place. I left you guys here and you still couldn't get along. And you're still warring and going after each other. God did not tell the children of Israel to destroy these people that we're about to talk to. He tells them to get rid of the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and all these different people. And they cause issues with God's people, but that was like expected. But then there's infighting. And they're like taking themselves out. So keep reading here with me. Verse 21, it says, the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam. Anybody know what Elam is? Who the Elamites are? That is modern day Iran. So Iran, these are the Elamites. And Ashur, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. The children of Aram, Uz. All right, Bible quiz. Who's from Uz? Come on. It's an easy one. Some of you need to get one. It's not spelled that way. Job. All right. Uz is close to Israel. It's right here in this yellow. So Job lived about right here. Yeah. Israel's right there. So anyway, I just thought it was neat. So the land of Uz is there. And you keep on going there. And you'll look down and Hul and Gather and Mash and Arphaxad begat Sala. And Sala begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. When it says the earth was divided, some people say that that's Pangaea, that the continents were divided. It's not what the word divided means. It means that it was his generation when the Tower of Babel happened. Remember I said this is something that's going before? And so the earth was divided. People were spread. Up in his generation, they were all still around each other. And then it was separated. And Peleg goes out, for in his days the earth was divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almadad and Sheleph and Hazramaveth and Jerah and Hadaram and Uzal and Dikla and Obal and Abimiel and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. And all these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. And these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Let's look at the Semitic race for a moment here. And so the Elamites Iran. You saw Ashur in there. That is the Assyrians, which ultimately is Iraq. But the first nation that God used to totally change Israel's dynamic was Assyria. The Assyrians are the ones who come and take the northern kingdom. And so when the kingdom got split into two, northern and southern kingdom, so Israel or Ephraim, and then the southern kingdom of Judah, the northern kingdom gets taken away, and that was taken away by Assyria. So God uses Semitic people to take Semitic people here. Our fact set is the Chaldeans. That's the earliest form of the Babylonians, the people. When Daniel gets taken, he has to go and start to learn this Chaldean language and start to learn Chaldean ways. When Babylon comes and takes over that. Joktan is Arabia. And so this part, this yellow part of Arabia, this is Saudi Arabia. This is like desert, but you get Joktan. You're going to get Ashur. You're going to get Aram, all these places. And they're going to kind of move out here and down all these different places. And so they're all surrounding. And you know what's interesting about that? If this is Israel right here, right? Even today, this is Israel, and all this, know what that means even for our world today? Ancient name, people say they're two different places or whatever, but it's just Palestine, right? And even today, that's what a war that's raging, and it's a war against the same. They'll say we're Arabs and you're Jews, but they're all just Semitic. They speak different languages now, but that's not how it was even after the flood. It's not what it was like. That's not what happened. God, he uses all these different people. So Aram is the Syrians, and so the Syrians are to the north. So by the time Jesus comes, these Phoenician people, these people that were above Israel there, and when you get to Aram and Heth and things like that, they're really just one people. But by the time Jesus gets there, the Samaritan woman's like, we're not even supposed. It's not true, but this is how people with like critical race theory come to these conclusions that this all becomes because of race. And what I would tell them is, no, it's all because of spiritual idolatry. It's all because some people took pagan things and got further and further away from God. And the people that held the line and stayed godly and stayed with the true God of heaven didn't want that. And so now there's going to be these wars that rage because they didn't want a king. They didn't want anything. What was people in the Bible, you could argue this, I guess, but in the Bible, what was Israel's greatest sin? They had a lot of them. Old Testament, what's Israel's greatest sin? What is it? Want a king. But what's the basis of that? Why did they want a king? They want it to be like other nations. So what it comes down to is a lack of faith in their God. They wanted an earthly king that they could see because they don't have any faith. You get to the New Testament, unbelieving or doubting Thomas, the same thing. I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe, right? Because we don't walk by sight, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. And God's always, that's always been his expectation. So even back in, when people start moving away from God and they start saying, when Nimrod steps up and says, I don't want a God. I am God, basically. I'm going to be the king, and I'm going to do this. So we get to chapter 11 here in a little bit, and they start to build this tower and do these things. And God even says, God says, wait a minute, the people is one people, and nothing's withheld from them. We'll talk about it next week. He's like, they're going to feel like they don't need me, or they're going to feel like they can do everything they want. And I think that happens to us even in our world today, doesn't it? We get to a place where we're like, we got everything we need. We can do whatever. I don't need God. I've got it. And you may not verbalize that and say that out loud, but that's kind of what it is. I think that happens with politicians. People put their faith a lot of times in a politician and try to like put that person in the place of God. And you got to be real careful because I guarantee you this, every good or bad politician in my entire lifetime that was of age has died. And Jesus is still alive. Right? And so we go through these ebbs and flows. There was a time where Nebuchadnezzar was on the earth, and I know that some people don't agree with this, but after Nebuchadnezzar had to get turned into an animal for seven periods of time, Nebuchadnezzar comes back and he's like, God is God. And everybody get right. And he has a kingdom that was greater than the kingdom he had even before, right? And there was a lot of people that probably had faith in Nebuchadnezzar, like, yeah, Nebuchadnezzar's really awesome now. And he died. And then his son gets on the throne, and he gets many, many tekel upharsin. Hey, guess what? Your time is up, buddy, because you're doing the wrong things. while you're drinking and partying with the things that your father stole out of the temple, and you're drinking out of those glasses that are God's. But right outside of the doors, as you're drinking, the Persians are out there about to come and take over. It's literally what happens, right? Read the Bible. It's great. Anyway, so you see that go on there in this Semitic race that goes through. You'll get this. The last thing I'm going to finish with, and I'm going to be finished. this area, you won't see it on this map, but if you were to look in certain places, this area through here is crescent-shaped, and that's what we call the Fertile Crescent. People will say that that is where the garden is because there's rivers currently today called the Tigris and Euphrates. But I'll have you to remember that when God created the garden and those rivers were there, that was prior to the flood. And after the flood, geographically, everything has shifted. So for us to say for sure that's where they were at, we don't know. But we do know from the Bible that this area is where remember we talked about how the ark lands in like Turkey and Asia Minor. So this area is close to, and we obviously know where Jesus came. This is where people were at. We know the Old Testament, that's where people were at. But it's called the Fertile Crescent. It's not called the Fertile Crescent for any biblical reason. It's called the Fertile Crescent because that's where farming began. Because it was fertile ground, it still is fertile ground, and things grew out of that, and irrigation systems and planting and all these things. That's why in the Bible there's so many illustrations about farming, about planting, sowing, and reaping, and these different things, because it's very fertile and moved out of that. So every single one of these groups of people, what they did was they take from this Fertile Crescent, and they begin to go out and find different areas and begin to farm or do whatever they're going to do. And it's also neat because in the table of nations or in these biblical peoples groups, what we also find is, I think it's interesting, is you find God's provision. You find sustenance. You find things. Somebody told me, I believe it was our South Sudanese missionaries, remember they're building the irrigation system so they could get clean water where they're at, you know. And so you got to do... Things are going to burn in the Sudan if you don't, you know, water them a lot and you don't do things. And so it's interesting because God put people in places, but yet they all come out of this area, this Fertile Crescent. And it happens now because population's crazy. But what's one of the major things that people, even in our culture, in our society, for all of our lives, the AIDS epidemic hit. But even before that, what's one of the major things we knew about Africa? People are hungry. They're starving. It's a different thing, but all you 80s and people that grew up or were around in the 80s, you remember when they sang, "We Are the World"? It's for Africa, right? We're uniting because these people are starving, and we are the world. We are the people, right? It's completely biblically wrong, that song, but anyway. I want to get one of those Lionel Richie mustaches back then. Remember that mustache? Never mind. Anyway. Because they're starving there. But that's not how God created it. God created it to be this fertile place, but because of wars, because of government, because of pollution, these different things, they mess it all up. They start to destroy. But what I think is interesting about that, and when you look at the Table of Nations, it's not just people groups, but God, it says this, these are the families of the sons of Noah after the generations and generations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. God, in every single one of those lands, gave enough provisions that all of those lands still stand today, that they still go on today. remember in 2012, the Mayans said we're all going to die. And as SpongeBob said, 13 years later, right? Here we are. in 2000, the artist, Prince, told us we were all going to die. So we're going to party like it's 1999. Some of you don't understand that. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know. 2000, party, oops, almost out of time. Anyway, you don't need to know, but we were all going to die in 2000, right? Before that, the Millerites, the person who ultimately, Charles Taze Russell, who ultimately we formed the Jehovah's Witnesses, he says, yep, Jesus is coming back exactly on this day. He was wrong. And he's like, I got a little bit wrong a few years later. He's coming in a couple more years. Wrong. Yet people still follow that. My point to you is this. All these years later, Genesis, we talked about the Bible this morning, Genesis 10 still stands and all these nations are still around. They may not be all the same thing. They're still places. And it's because God not only put people there, but for God's purposes and his reasons, he also put provisions there. He also provided there. And there's things there and people will say, well, this or that. But man, I tell you what, it's amazing to me because what you don't see on the map, right? You just see this part of the world. But they go off and populate the earth. So Tarshish, I talked about this a little bit ago, way over here, Japheth. And so here's kind of Germany and in Russia over here. These Germanic people, the Celts come over here. Here's the British Isles. And from that, doesn't matter, we're just talking about America for a moment. From that, we get our world, the Western world, through the British colony, which, you know, we were once a British colony. And so some way, somehow, regardless, you know, we're all immigrants. Some of you may be second, you know, generation immigrants. Maybe some of your families came to Ellis Island. I don't know. But somehow, some way, we're all here in America right now. And all these things, the whole world, people will say, the whole world is overspread by this group of people. And so when you look at our culture, we're like this big mixing pot. But, you know, literally, if you're from this area, your descendants, then, you know, they might call you an African-American, right? But I want you to remember this. African-American doesn't mean you're black, because my brother-in-law is from South Africa and he's an African-American, but he's white. There's people from all different places, right? So you got to be careful. These Semitic people, listen, there are a lot of people who are Jews in America, lots of them, and they're Semitic, but guess what? We go around and we're kind of racist because we watch the news and we say, well, those are people who are Arabs. Well, guess what? Arabs are Semitic people. The same people group biblically as the Jews. They're warring, but that's, you know, that's the thing. And then you get these European people, and so you get all these different folks from these different areas. And I don't know how much of a problem it is now, but growing up in the 90s, there was a great religious war between Protestants and Catholics in Ireland, right? In Northern Ireland and these different things. And they're fighting over religious, but they're the exact same people group killing each other. But then over the whole world, spread out east, west, north, south, everywhere you go, people, every single person on earth originated, obviously, out of Noah's three sons, but they originated out of those groups. You're one of those three groups. Probably most of us today have several of those groups in us through some way, because they're all bordering each other. Look how close they are. Isn't it funny how lines are? I was talking to my Sunday school class this morning. Look at these lines. But isn't it funny? Like, just think about Dayton. Think about where we're at right now. Like, you can go 5 miles that way, and the school is Northmont. If you go to Trotwood, you're like, I don't like those Northmont people. I don't like those Trotwood people. I'm like, dude, you're the same people, right? You can go a little bit to the west, and it's like you're in Brookville, and nobody in Brookville wants any of us over there. They're like, you guys stay out. We hate you. We're the same people. It's just a Dayton suburb, right? You go a little bit. I mean, this is a big one. I don't know if you're from around here. You know, we're better off on Grow and Vandalia telling them we're in Trotwood than telling them we're in Northmont, because they hate Northmont and Vandalia. Oh, no. They're like, don't let your kids grow up to be T-Bolts. They don't like you T-Bolts over there. They're like, no, we are Vandalia. What are they, the Aviators or something stupid like that? I live in Troy. And Troy and Piqua, it's like they'll shoot each other at the Troy Piqua football game for real. Like they're thug, and I'm like, I don't understand it. I'm not a native, right? But like they're like, we're Trojans. I think the Piqua. I don't know. Are they like Indians or something? Are they still allowed to be Indians? No, I don't. You never know anymore. I didn't know if they had to be Guardians or Commanders or something stupid. I'm gonna call them the Indians. Yeah, I'm gonna call them whatever I want. But anyway, I'm not politically correct at all. But listen. But here's Piqua, here's Troy. They're on the border of each other and they're like, I hate those Piqua people. Dude, you live on this side of the street and on the other side of the street is Piqua. What do you mean you hate Piqua? Like, are we so divided by stupid things like that? We're like so, I was talking about Brother Kenton, he went to a high school that like still to this day, Maddie went there, still to this day, like, there's like a little bit of like blood pressure that rises in me when somebody says Clint Massey. Like, I hate Clint Massey. Like, like, just like this bordering neighboring school. I'm like, all those people are stuck up and they're stupid, right? And they're all like, we hate Wilmington. It's the hood. Like, you know what I mean? Like we just, I mean, it is, but still, like, it is so funny. But you're like, but you all shop at the same stores. You all live basically in the same town and things like this. Like, well, my friend Josh Bevan, he's a year older than me. He went to Clint Massey. We played basketball against each other. He went to Wilmington until he was in fifth grade, and we were friends and things like that. And then he moved and went to Massey. And I could just remember, like, when they were in school, like, you guys are traitors. You moved to Massey. Like, what's the word? Kill the bird. They're Falcons. That's stupid. But Hurricanes are better than – Hurricanes run Falcons off. I mean, 25 years later, I would still be thinking about that. But like, man, I really hope Wilmington beats Clint Massey tonight. We won't because we're terrible at everything. But isn't that crazy how we're just like – even biblically, these people are like territorial. Here we are. Here's my land. Here's this. Here's that. And it's like, dude, today – in our world today, people are fighting over this little piece of land right here. And there's this place in between that's political, Gaza. And they're like, oh, there's refugees here. And we're fighting over this little piece of land. The whole country of Israel is the size of New Jersey. You couldn't give me an, I wouldn't buy New Jersey for nothing. I don't want New Jersey. If God gave me the ability to buy a state, like, dude, give me Hawaii or something like that. Like, I don't want New Jersey. That's stupid. Give me Florida. You know what I mean? Like, New Jersey. Like, if God gave me the power, I would just take Michigan off the map. People are so territorial, but it all starts back in Genesis chapter 10. And I don't know why, and I can't prove this. But you know why I think God did that, though, and why people are like that? Because the real, then not Bible-believing, but for us, the real Bible-believing people, or then the people who really believe God, a couple chapters over, you're going to find out in Genesis chapter 12. He tells Abraham, a Shemite, to get out of his land and go to Canaan, to a Hamite place. He actually doesn't tell him where to go. He just says, leave where you're at. I'll tell you later where you need to go. He says, just go. And he just goes. And Abraham, the father of our faith, literally call it that, he goes and he's looking for a city, right? He never does it. He just becomes a perpetual nomad, the Bible says in Hebrews. And I think that God does this because God always wanted us to depend on him in faith. Not where we're at, not place, not provisions. Abraham, just go. Take your whole family with you, and I'll tell you what you need to do. Abraham, you're still going to have a son. God, I'm 100. Don't worry about it. This time next year, you're going to be changing diapers, Abraham. Huh? And he does. I think that God does, this is just my thought. In God's wisdom, it's like, he always wants us to be dependent on him and not on lands. And he separates the people because they started getting too big for themselves. But it was like what we did with it because of fall, because of sin, was turning into wars. And what God was always trying to do was he just wants us to be dependent on him. He wants us to be able to go anywhere and be with anyone and the kingdom still be his kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. And Satan is the author of confusion because God's not the author of confusion. So it must be Satan that is. And man, what's more confusing than looking across the street and hating somebody because you're in Trotwood and they're in Clayton? Literally. These are the kind of things that happen. Like, some of you guys that went to Trotwood, like, you hate DPS. You can't stand a Dunbar. You're like, Meadowdale. Dude, it's 5 minutes from Trotwood. It's right there. Like, why do you hate them so much, right? Like, people inside of Dayton Public, I go to Thurgood. I hate Dunbar. Dude, you live next door. We're like that. Let's just be honest. I mean, I make fun of it, but like Ohio State and Michigan, like people die at Ohio State and Michigan games. You're neighbors. You can be in Ohio and Michigan at the same time. You can go like this. Nobody cares about Indiana because they stink. But anyway, I think it's interesting. God wants us to depend on them. All right? Let's go to the Lord.